It's good to have Pastor Gomez here today, and he's about, I would guess, almost 20 years ahead of me in the ministry, and I appreciate watching men like him. Believe it or not, a lot of men his age have moved to the left, at least to the middle anyway, and the old-timey religion that they used to preach, they're not preaching it the same way anymore, and so I appreciate Pastor Gomez and the church he pastors, the course of college, just sticking true to the old-timey religion and the gospel. And I appreciate him being here this morning, been a good friend to myself and our family. And so I appreciate him this morning being here. We look forward to that. And so, Pastor Gomez, you come this morning and preach till the Lord tells you to be done, I guess.
Thank you. Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter 11. I so much enjoy it already, being here. And pastor and his family are very precious to us. To think that your pastor would come to the school once a week and finish his diploma shows extreme great character and humility. And you ought to thank God for that. That's a rare commodity today in our movement. And I appreciate that. And, of course, he comes down to the camp and works at the camp. Every now and again I see him there, not very often. He just comes to trash my machines that I paid so much for, but get them stuck in the mud. But just really a blessing, a tremendous blessing. And his wife is precious, very precious. Now, the boys, I won't say anything about them. But anyway, but I've known them since they're little bitty. They grow up. They really do. They grow up. And that's why it's so important. About what I talked about this morning, about not raising fools out of our homes. Men, I've been employed for many years, and I'll do a little bit this morning if you'll allow me to. And if you won't allow me to, I'm going to do it anyway. We've got to have stand-up men in this country and in our churches. And you're not that way. Brother, I'm going to shoot you in the back. Not in the back, I mean just in the back of the church. Always telling me what to do with my microphone. Thank you, brother. I forget. Mine stays on at my place, and so they just turn me on back there. So I got to turn myself on. I'm not used to working that much, brother. It's a joy to serve the Lord in these days. As it were, in days of Noah, so shall it be in the days to come, Lord. We want Jesus to come again.
Amen.
But we don't want the things that surround what's going to take place right before he comes. And I think we're facing some of that today and some of this stinking insanity. And so we need to understand that very clearly. And preacher, thank you for investing in our ministry and coming down. I really mean that from the depths of my soul. I think about it often, brag on you often, and I'm certainly glad to be here. And you'll enjoy this week. Was here at one other time during your Jubilee, and it's good. Now, I'm not a windsucker. I am a preacher, and I preach to you. I don't preach general messages. I preach right to you. That's called application. Right. Some people don't like that when a preacher is that personal. But that's the way it is. That's the way it was back in the old days. That's the way it always has been. I've got messages I preach very general. Nobody really understands who I'm talking about. And I can just hold the corn, but not pointing some things out. But that's what needs to be done. If we're going to ever have a revival, we're going to have to point some things out. And listen carefully, please. Pride is what's damning our country and our churches. Men, somewhere we've got to humble ourselves. If my people, which are called by my name,
yes.
We can't even get across the first hurdle. We got people called by God's name. They're Christian. We can't even get across the first hurdle. Pride. Pride. We got to humble ourselves. So, men, I know this. I'm employed quite often, and I will be next week. It'll be 4 weeks now. Next Sunday will be 4 weeks I've been out of my pulpit. I can do that. I've been there going on 40 years almost. And so, and I have very qualified men there. I have never done that in my ministry, but I'm kind of backing out just a tad and letting some of the young men take over at the church, and they're doing a wonderful job. But I'm employed quite often to go to churches and to try to help the men to man up just a bit. Now, you're going to have to humble yourself and just say we all need a little of that. And it doesn't matter what you do. I don't care what you bench press. I don't care what you have and what your position is. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being real men and fearless fathers. Fearless fathers. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll never have a revival. And this Jubilee will just go, just a bunch of preaching. You get that all the time from your good preacher. It'd just be a bunch of preaching if some of us don't get right with God and get it down in our soul and change. We need to change. Every one of us here ought to pray, dear God, would you change me this week? Have this not just be another week of preaching, but have me, speak to me, have me to change. Right. And the truth of the matter is, fellas, if we don't get it right, the rest are not going to get it right. I don't know if you know this or not, but God created man first. Can't even get an amen out of the women on that one, but first. Women came from man. A woman came from man. Man with a womb. Woman. Came from his side, not to be trod on, not under his feet, to be trod upon, not over his head, to lord over him, but from his side, to be next to him. The Bible calls her helpmeet, not hindrance, but helpmeet. But the truth of the matter is, if we're not careful, we have, like Eve, Eve stepped out from under the canopy of protection of her husband, and Satan got her. And all of a sudden, we have a problem going on. Interpretation first mentioned straight out of the box in Genesis of this domination. Who is boss anyway? Now you better understand something very carefully. What I'm saying is totally unpolitically correct because I'm not that and never will be. I'm BC, not PC. I'm biblically correct and listen carefully. That's what the book says. Man ought to be a man of his home. Men ought to be men in the church and take leadership positions. In most cases, and by the way, ladies, that's not downplaying you. We couldn't make it without you. In fact, I love women. My mother was one, and both my wives were. See, you have two wives. Yes, I'm Mormon. But anyway, listen, ladies, we couldn't do it without you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what God says in His Word about leadership. When we have men being beat down, and laying on the ground, crying, and holding his hand up, crying, and wetting his britches. Somebody didn't teach that boy how to be a man. Right. And I'm talking physically, big physical guy. Just wasn't stinking man up to fight. Are you kidding me? But on TV, we got these women cops, that's got, well, anyway, well upholstered, and they got these big guns around there, and they're whooping six men on TV. Now, I have never seen a woman that I'm scared of, ever. I've never seen a woman could whoop me until I moved to Iowa. And then I saw a few farm girls that I was scared to death of, I swear I was. Whoa. I mean, I really. I was pheasant hunting one time. They came in a restaurant, and I went, whoa. I mean, really, the ankles that big come in like that. And I said, remind me of that girl I talked about in high school. But I tell you what, we need men, fearless fathers. Pick it up in chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 7. Preacher, thank you for the opportunity to come. We just have this. I'll preach on the power of God tonight. Make sure that you're here. And I wrestled about this morning. I really did. Folks, listen, I've got 39, almost 40 years of preaching in that one pulpit. I've got thousands of messages, revival messages, things that will just really impress you. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to get a church ready for the day that we're living in to get right with God. Because, buddy, heavy days are before us. Chapter 11, let's stand one more time, stretch our legs, and look at verse 7, if you would please. By faith, we had a man, by faith, Noah being warned of God. Let me tell you what the preacher does, and let me tell you what this book does. It warns you. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm warning you. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And what I'll talk about today, we don't see them yet, but I see them in a shadow, and they're coming. Not seen of yet, moved. See that word? Move with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Do you see that? Now look at it one more time. He was moved with fear. I want to talk a little bit about that fearless father. Father, help us today. We thank you, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for showing us, Lord, what manhood is with with Adam, the first Adam. We certainly seen it with the last Adam, the Lord Jesus. He's not a little long-haired, effeminate freak on a cross. Never was, never will be. He was a man that could take scourging and beating, ridicule, beard plucked out, absolutely scourging to the point of killing a person. And still after that, picked up a 350-pound cross and packed it up Golgotha's hill. Lord, we understand manhood. We understand very clearly. We also understand what a country is trying to do to its men. And dear God, we're Bible believers. We are the hope of this world, the hope of this country. And I pray our men would take it serious, the responsibility that's ours. I pray there'd be a blessing and a help to this dear church. We pray for these people, this church. These good men need to stand up. And I pray they'd take what I'm going to say, Lord, seriously, and knowing that I'm trying to help them. Pray that you'd bless this dear place. We've known it for many years, even other pastors. So I pray that you'd bless and help now in power. We ask in Jesus' name, save the soul nearest hell, revive backsliders in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. He was a man that was successful at saving his own house. When you read about Noah, we understand that very clearly. He saw things in his day that caused him to fear. I want you to see that. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we're not talking about fearing men. We're talking about fearing God right now is what I'm talking about. And he saw things to come, and he was moved with fear. So Noah, being warned of God, was moved because he feared what could happen to his family. And I'll say it again, as goes the family, so goes the church. As the church, so goes our country. Fathers today don't fear for their families in the things of God. They are like Lot, who made bad decisions and chose the riches of Sodom and overwalking with God and working for God and doing His will. We got everybody chasing the buck and trying to be successful and yet failing in their families. We need men to stand up, fearful men that fear God and understand the times that we're living in, the times of the day, and what we have before us that's coming down on America. And we need to understand that we need fearless fathers. And so he saved his life. Lot was like many today and made bad decisions. And he chose the riches of Sodom, walking, not walking with God or working for God or doing his will. He was saved, but his life was mocked by his children. So, preacher, we can go down through the Word of God and see those who live God and love God and serve God and feared God. Men, we're talking about. And then we see those that were not and what happened to their children. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan, end up in Sodom. And because of his compromised lifestyle, his insincerity, his children ended up mocking him when he went to them and said, God's judgment is upon this city, and God's going to rain fire and brimstone down on this city. And his children mocked and laughed at him. Now, brethren, I don't know about you, but there ain't no Christian family should ever live where his family is mocking, his children are mocking and laughing at him when he's talking about the judgment of God. We have preached, and I preach all across this country, across the world, actually, and I preach in services at times where people would laugh, young people would laugh. Older people would laugh when you're preaching God's Word. Disrespect for the Word of God, disrespect for God. But when your own children are looking at you after you're warning them and laughing and mocking you, brethren, we have failed somewhere in our homes. Some are like David, at one time a man after God's own heart. However, his children were shameful, murdering, adulterating individuals who broke David's heart. Just because you're a Christian officer of this church, lead singing, or even the pastor, doesn't make a bomb shelter for your children. Right. It doesn't mean your children are going to turn out right either. They don't turn out. We turn them out. Is everybody with me now? They don't just turn out. We turn them out. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school. I believe the secret, brethren, are the fathers. Every man in this room, and I want to say this to all the future fathers, those young men in this room need to listen very carefully. You might be, these boys right here, some of them never think they'll ever be married, and it's just a few years they're going to be married. Just a few. except for you. If you come see me after the service, $5, I can fix you up. I got a couple of girls in the church that are blind. They would. Yeah, I think I'll take him. I think the first thing will check your wallet out. If it's a fat wallet, just put some paper in there and they'll be like. It's a shame when we have children that mock their parents and do these things. I'm just saying that just because we're in the Christian work, preacher, sometimes we believe the Christian school is a bomb shelter. We have people that actually drop their children off at our Christian school feel that we have the responsibility to turn them out. We don't have a response. That is not what the Christian school is. The Christian school is to educate them. The home is who turns them out. And we need to understand that we need fearless fathers to really understand the responsibility of man and that he's the head of that home as God is the head of the church, and we need to make sure that we turn them out. They don't turn out. We need to turn them out. And I believe the secret is fathers. Fathers must be moved with the saving of their home. A real man of God, consecrated Christian, loyal to God and his church, and this place would absolutely overflow. Listen very carefully. If every man in this church would get right with God, become a sincere, sold out, 100% consecrated Christian, you could have folks saved all over this area. Dubuque is still going to hell. Right. And I've been part of this church for a long, way before your pastor came here. Dubuque is still going to hell. And I'm telling every one of you, I'm not putting heavy on you, I'm putting a burden that God's going to put on you one day, face to face. That we could see a lot more people saved if we're just, all of us men, get right with God and man up and be what we should be in our homes for God Almighty. We need to see that. There'd be thousands saved and hundreds saved, preacher. And I think you got some good people here. But man, all of us men got to get right with God. I do these across the nation. And I'm just trying to say that, man, it's a shame when preachers are begging me, and your pastor didn't do this, but men are begging me, preachers are begging me, would you please come help man my men up? They're just, it's an insincerity there. It's apathy. They don't care less. They just want to make money and pay their bills and that's it. Kind of come to church, tip God every now and again. None of them really involved with the church. You end up reaping what you sow. Most children, if you ask them, they want a sold-out daddy that loves God and is a wonderful example in the home. Preacher, all of us are going to make mistakes. All of the men in this room are going to make mistakes. We're going to do things sometimes, as I said this morning, it's kind of foolish. But a child is tremendously forgiving, men. They will look at you and they'll forgive us sometimes our mistakes. But not hypocrisy. Are you hearing me now? Not hypocrisy. Your children want a sold-out, consecrated daddy that loves God with all of his heart, and they know that dad loves God with all of his heart, loves his wife, loves their mother, and wants to serve God and sincere. And brother, your children are not trying to make you what you're not. They just want you to be sincere and real about it. And preacher, we're not understanding this. Some children just, they've lost respect sometimes because they're not seeing genuine Christianity in the home. Every father that fears God should do several things and have several characteristics. You ought to write them down. Number one, you ought to be absolutely honest in your home. Are you listening to me? Honest. Hey, brethren, look up here. I'm talking to you. Every one of you men in this room, you ought to be honest in your home, and your children and wife ought to know that you're totally 100% honest. When a father tells his and teaches his children to lie, he's doing a damage to that child that he'll never really understand. The matter of honesty is so very important. This family was not a part of our church at the time. They had asked us to come down and have a meal with them, and they were in another state, and we went up and had a meal with them, preacher, and we're there, me and the wife, my first wife, and we're sitting there, and the phone rang. When the phone rang, he yelled to his child, he said, "Tell him I'm not here." And it shocked me. I went, he just told his child a lie. Now see, that don't bother some of y'all, because you think little white lies are right. Little white lies are all lies, and your children know right, that. Right. And they heard that, and he told that child a lie. And I sat back and I go, man, this ain't good. So, told the daughter to lie, and there's three other boys sitting there. I said, man, this is not good. Time went on, we ate the meal, phone rang again. His wife answered the phone, said, you know, the bill collector. He said, tell him whatever. And he told him something. Tell him, check's in the mail, and it wasn't in the mail. And I sat back grieved in my spirit. Are y'all listening to me, fellas? A real man that loves God. I didn't have to be a preacher. Just a man that loves God and understand this matter of honesty. It's a stinking shame that I had a lost daddy that was more honest than some so-called Christian dad is.
Right.
And I got to thinking, that man told his daughter to lie in front of his boys and told his wife to lie in front of the whole family. This ain't going to turn out right. Years pass, preacher, and they end up in our area and join the church. And I knew it's just a matter of time. Listen carefully, folks. I didn't write the book. I'm preaching it to you. Whatsoever man soweth, that. We're in Iowa, folks. You don't put up beans in the ground and corn comes up. Put beans in the ground, beans going to come up.
Right.
Put corn in the ground, corn's going to come up. And you sow wickedness and lies in your home, lies going to come out of your home. And when you're doing it with your children, you're absolutely destroying them. I'm simply saying that it is a shame that took place. Preacher, I watched this family. Of course, the wife died of cancer, and then all of a sudden, by the way, she was the only strong. It's really a shame. See, that's what I'm trying to say. Men ought to stand up and be the leaders, and men ought to be the spiritual. Men ought to be the fearful fathers who raised their family right. When Mama died, that family went to hell in a handbag. She was a strong spiritual glue that kept the family together? That shouldn't be, sir. Hey, sir, if you're the right kind of leader and the spiritual man, if you lose your wife, you still got your family intact and they're still serving God. It's not that they're all going to come unraveled. It came unraveled. Right today, that man, by the way, I'm not talking back of the tracker. I'm talking about a sophisticated, dedicated, one that came to church all the time and did a lot, but he was living one way at church and another way at home. And children know hypocrisy.
Right.
That man was living a hypocritical life. And everybody loved him at church. Great personality. Faithful. All of it. Driving an hour and a half to come to church and never missed a service. That sounds like an unbelievable faithful man. Except, was he doing it just for him or was his wife forcing him to do that? Because his children knew he was a hypocrite. Wife died. He's now living with a Seventh-day Adventist woman, living with her, not even married to her. The girl now has tattoos all over her body, a wonderful Christian girl, graduated from Christian college, not ours, but married a man that was unfaithful to her. One of the boys is drinking and smoking cigars. The other one's doping and messed up. And the third boy is worse than the other two. Are y'all listening to me now? I'm talking about one of the so-called, in this church, would have been one of the best families of the church. But because there were hypocrisy, and there's a dad in the home that did not move with fear to the raising of his house, and understanding there was no revival in the house. You can have a revival in your house. Y'all looking for a revival in this church? You can have one in your house if you'll get right with God. I'm talking to all of you men right now. I'm not flinching. I'm not nervous. I'm talking to all of you. A man to a man. Mano to mano. We're going to have to get this thing right, guys. We'll never have revival. We'll never see this country come to God. We'll never ever have children that live for God if we don't get it right. The men, it's our duties, not the ladies.
Right.
Women sometimes are more spiritual than men. They're just kind of natural. They love deep. They understand that. But men, we're the ones that's got to be the stand-up man to lead the family. It's a shame where men are being led around by their wives, by the nose, and they're the spiritual leaders instead of the men. Men need to do that. I'm going to say it one more time, that we need total 100% honesty in our homes. Preacher, our children are looking for genuine Christianity. Every father that fears God should do several of these things, and they should be, number one, honest. Honest.
Right.
And if you're not honest, my friend, we're going to have problems. You know, there's some tremendous families in this church, and I know that. I've been here long enough. I know who you are, basically. May not know your names, but I've been here enough time to know that you're settled and you're faithful. And there's some folks in this room that, families in this room that are honest, faithful to service, non-critical. Preacher, you know several of our, in fact, you go out to the camp and with Todd, but, there's several families in our church that just turn out outstanding children. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know what the secret is, right? If you have any wisdom, you'll find out families like that, and you go, what did you do? There's no secret, by the way. It's not no big secret. You know, what did you do to turn out good kids? You ought to do that. That's called wisdom if you go talk to somebody like that. But Todd's there. You know what those kids told me? All the old kids are serving God, married to preachers and serving God. And this is what they said. Said, "Preacher, at no time did we ever hear our parents ever criticize you." Now listen carefully, folks. I love you, preacher. There's enough to criticize him about. If he preaches the way he preaches, you can go ahead and take a stinking cheap shot at him if you want to. And trust me, I say enough that anybody can. Of course, you never do anything that us preachers can get on, right? I mean, you live in such a wonderful life that even God just goes, "Man, what?" Right? Just listen carefully, please. Just carefully. We're men just like you. We're flesh. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. If you want to find something criticized about, you can find it. Easy to find. But let me tell you who can't handle it. She can't handle it. They can't handle it. She can't handle it. Children can't handle that stuff when you're shooting at authority. You can't do that. And when you keep killing authorities in life, after you start killing all the authorities in life, they're looking for somebody that's going to take them in. And this is where the gangs end up happening. The gangs will take them in just like they are, and they will. You can't criticize. And brethren, every great family in our church always, without any prompting, preacher, they always come to me, either the children or somebody, and say, "Preacher, you know, there's one thing about my family is that we never heard criticism of leadership." Just never heard that. And that humbles us because we went, "Man, there's enough to criticize us about for sure." But they didn't. Right. At college, we're talking about college. When I went to college, like we didn't have enough to criticize at times. I had several college professors that would bore a stinking dead man. They were the most boring teachers I've ever had in my life. I'd just sit there and go, just stare at him and go, "Dear God, help this man. What is he doing teaching? He can't teach. He'd bore a dead man." I never criticized him. I'm doing it now because they're dead. But anyway, and I've been out of school a long time. But I'll sit there and I go, "Dear Lord, help me," you know. But I passed their courses, made great grades, pushed on, and went and served God and kept my mouth shut. But while I was at school, I had some men that were 10 times talented, unbelievable talented men, could sing, could preach, knew the Bible already before they even came to Bible college. And all they would do, they'd get with me, I said, "Man, why don't you shut up? You didn't come here to teach them. You came to learn from them. And if you don't like what they say, spit out the stinking bones, man. Just spit out the bones. I don't need to listen to your stinking criticism. I'm here for 4 years. I'm only here that for 4 years. I'm out of here." Or you listen to me. That's why folks leave churches, because they've been get around gossips and critics and they end up out. Brethren, we can't do that. Your children can't handle that stuff. We need men that are honest and understand that very clearly and don't be critical of leadership. Be faithful to servant. You must be honest with your family if you're ever going to have a chance to turn out good, godly children. Be true blue, be real, be genuine. Never allow your children to take what doesn't belong to them. My daddy always told me this. Preacher, he said, "I hate a thief and a liar." Now, I was come from a lost home. My daddy was a boxer and drank and fought a lot. But he always told me those principles. I hate a thief and a liar. You never allow them to take what's not theirs. And that happens a lot of times. And this is a failure in the homes. And what's happening today, please listen to me. I'm going to just go ahead and take a poke and then we're going to move on, because I could sit here for 2 hours. These stinking no good for nothing reprobates that are breaking windows and burning buildings and spitting in the face of cops and killing cops by the number 2 killed this morning again. My kinfolk cops. And doing all that trash is because they come out of homes, reprobate homes, where they never had any good example. Dr. Hiles and a bunch of my old preachers are dead now, I used to preach with, they said this. They said, "You go ahead, this hippie generation of the 60s and 70s, they will be your leaders one day." What we're seeing now with all of this movement is their children.
Right.
Their children. Reprobate children that are doing this stuff. So this is what happens. They come out of stinking fatherless homes, and this is what's happening across the nation. Fatherless homes everywhere. We have no examples in the home. And if we do have examples in the home, they're a bunch of drunks and drug addicts, and then they won't expect the children to turn out right. That's not happening in this church right now, but I'm asking you a question. You don't have to go to those extremes to turn out bad kids. You just need to be a hypocrite and not genuine in your home. Anybody can be genuine. I like what the old black preacher say about hypocrisy. Be what you is and not what you ain't, because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. And that's good. That's a good statement, friend. Be real. Be what you say you are. That's all people are looking for. They're not looking for perfection. Your children are not looking for perfection, sir. They're looking for dad just to be real. Number two, quickly, you need to be clean. Not only honest, but you need to be clean. God wants us to be clean men. Act clean, live clean, be clean. Clean in morals, clean in mentally and bodily. Preacher, we have, preachers don't want to address this, but we have a large percentage of our men in our churches that are connected and absolutely addicted to pornography. That doesn't make sense to me. It just blows my cork that somebody claims the name of Jesus Christ and they don't have enough stinking character to discipline themselves. We make it so convenient with everybody now. Devices that can be used. I'll get more work done with that thing right there. I cannot believe this stuff. I used to work for federal government when I was even in high school, actually, but then in college when I went to LSU. But we used to have computers the size of that wall that just took care of just a little bit of what this does now. It's crazy what's happened. Are y'all with me now? I can get so much done, so much work done with this thing. It's crazy. Are you with me now? Come on, say amen right there. Do something. If I lose this thing, I just lost my brain. Right? We don't have numbers memorized anymore. I got stuff logged on there that I don't know how to even get in some of my homes. I can't get in a home because I don't have the combination and all that stuff. It's crazy. And the devil will take anything that's good and pervert it.
Right.
It's getting quiet in here now, but you listen to me carefully. I preach all across this country, and I'm telling you right now, we have a problem with our own men in Bible-believing churches addicted to pornography, and we got kids that don't have enough stinking, and parents that don't even have enough stinking sense to monitor it with their children, and in some cases, even give them one when they shouldn't have one.
Right.
Hey, man!
Right.
Hey, man, and hey, man! I know what I'm talking about. It's a shame. And when you got a college and you got kids that are using these things in a perverted way instead of a good way, the way God wanted, you got a real problem. It's coming out of the homes. Don't blame the college. Blame the homes and blame the fathers in the home that won't monitor that. Being so naive not even to understand what's going on under their noses. How sad it is. I'm just simply saying, preacher, that we need clean men. We need honest men. We need clean men, clean in soul and morals and mentally, bodily and soul. I was in my office one day, years and years ago, preacher, and I was sitting there doing work, and I heard somebody out in the hallway screaming, "Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God, help me! Oh, God!" I never heard anything wail like a man wail like that. I go, "What in the world?" I come out of my office, and I look down the hall, and there was a man I had just reached for Christ several months before that. Maybe a year, and he finally would come on Sunday morning, and his wife had left him, and he's with his child, a bitty girl, pretty little girl like the one we had right here, little bitty girl. And he'd come, and I preach on faithfulness, be faithful, don't miss church. If you be in the house of God, when the door's open, you be there. And I told him personally to do that. He said, "Yes, sir, I promise you, preach. I've lived a bad life, I want to get it right, and maybe hopefully get my wife back and my children." When I went out, preacher, and looked out the hall, he's sitting on a chair, and he had some little bitty shoes this big. I mean, they're that big in his two fingers, and he's holding them in his hand, and he's rocking back and forth. "Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God!" But what in the world? He had them two little shoes in his fingers. I never heard anything like it. I walked down the hall. He said, "Preacher, she's gone, preacher. She's gone, preacher. She's gone. You told me, preacher. You warned me, preacher." I couldn't believe, I knew it was come out of his mouth that his little girl was gone. He had to be. And he said this. He said, "You told me. You warned me not to miss church." See, I'm trying to make men real men, Christian men, like they were in the Bible days.
Right.
He said, "You warned me not to." He said, "But I missed church. I had some old cronies contact me. Said, man, let's go down to Lake Michigan." He said, just miss one Sunday. No big deal. Just go down to the lake one Sunday. Said, "We'll just sit there and we'll do some hot dogs or whatever." But they brought a little case, you know, a little ice chest full of beer. Pop one, gave it to him. He'd quit that. He'd been away from that for a while. got to drinking a few, and then all of a sudden he said, "Preacher, I just turned my back for a second. I turned around, she was gone. She wandered in that water, and the water just swept her away." He said, "We never got her." And he's sitting there sobbing with those little shoes in his hand like this, just sobbing and shaking. Preacher, that is because of a failed leadership among a man. He just didn't do. And this is what he said. He said, "You warned me." And he said, "Preacher, I've been here long enough. You reap what you sow. God is not mocked." Brethren, I wish I could get that across to all of you men. I love you, fellas. I'm in your corner. It is not easy to live this in this society, and it's not easy to raise a good, godly family. But, brethren, I'm for you, and I'm trying to tell you right now that it's not that hard to do what I'm asking you to do right now. But you just got to live right. You got to live honest, and you got to live clean. We're living in Sodom and Gomorrah right now, preacher. We're living in Sodom and Gomorrah right now, preacher. We are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And people that don't deny it, you're silly. You don't know what you're talking about. You read about it. When we accept what we're accepting in this stinking nation, with the transgender and all the sodomites and all that, and some of you used to amen. I used to preach this stuff years ago, and I'm in the front of my own chair, "Amen, preacher, go ahead, preach it." You don't do that anymore. You know why? Because some of your kinfolk are wrapped up in it. So I guess I don't need to preach on booze, because some of you, I guess kinfolk are wrapped up in it, right? Or maybe smoking or doping. We going to try to push preachers in the corner? We were called to preach that book and preach against sin.
Yes, sir. Right.
And I get to preach it on sodomy, against sodomy right now, and transgender. And it gets quiet in our churches anymore.
Right.
The shame. But that's where we're at in our country. We're living in a reprobate. We're living in Sodom and Gomorrah anymore. Men ought to stand up. Resist that stuff. You don't just roll over. Got guys rolling over about this mask stuff. Let me go ahead and say this. If you need to wear a mask, wear one. But let me warn you about that. Number one, you cut oxygen down 60%. Number two, you're breathing in your own waste. Thank you. God bless you. I'm not a doctor, but I sure got a whole lot of doctor friends that said, "Preacher, this is a bunch of crock." You're breathing in your... We can jump on a plane. You can't fly without one anymore. That's why I'm thinking about not even taking meetings, or I got to fly. Me and the wife got on a plane on Friday and flew all the way home, several hours wearing that stuff. By the time we landed, we were so sick. And it wasn't, when I say sick, I mean CO2, we're breathing in CO2. Crazy stuff. Do you understand, flights are really pretty, I know some of you think you're in this little capsule, it's really bad, but they're actually taking outside air, it's pretty good, it's not bad. But now they want you quarantined in a place where you actually can get sick and then wear a mask. Let me say this. Just go ahead and get off of that right now. But if you wear a mask and you're driving alone in your car, when this pandemic is over, stay home. I don't want to, you know. And don't shake my hand, because I might catch the stupids. We live in a very dirty society, preacher. Preacher, in the Old Testament, when the priest came to the Holy of Holies, he went in the outer court to the laver, if you study that out, and the laver was there, and it's a reflection of the Word of God. It's a type of Word of God. And when you look down there, you see yourself. When you read that book and you stay in that book, you'll see yourself as you really are. And let me tell you what we are. We're a mess. Every stinking one of us. We're a mess. It reflects us. But they were to wash their hands or feet. I mean, their hands or face, but also their feet wore sandals. I preached to someone, is there dirt between your toes? You've got to clean it all up before they could go into Holy of Holies. And preacher, we're living in a society, and brethren, y'all know this be true. You men know this be true. We don't even have to search for it. It hits us in the face. Billboards and advertisements and stuff even sent to our homes. Say amen, guys. You know that'd be true. Right. Stuff sent to our homes that men should not look at. Little boys should never, and men should not. It's in our face all the time. And I'm trying to say that we got to clean up, preacher. We've got to make sure that we have clean men. And just ask you a question, brethren. If we were alone in a room, I'd just ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing to save your house? You got some guns? Big deal. I'm an archer. I've been shooting animals. I mean, dangerous game in Africa with a bow and arrow. I've been doing this stuff for 30-something years. I don't even use guns. But I got two safes full of guns. I can kill you with any kind of weapon you want to be dead with. But just because you have guns don't make you a man. Just don't make you a man. And I'm simply saying that, preacher, we need to understand that we need men that fear God and say, I'm going to protect my home in this way, in the godly way, not just in the physical way. And we need to understand that truly now, and I won't get into that. I'm just saying, what are you doing to save your house? You got a security system? Whoop-de-doo. You got some guns? Whoop-de-doo. What are you doing with your family? Well, those children look at you and say, that man is a man of God. My older son texted me on Father's Day, and he said, Dad, I love you with all my heart. He said, I was raised in the greatest home that a boy could ever be raised in. I was given the greatest privileges that any boy could ever live in. Dad, I want you to know how much I love you. Now, buddy, that's seeking deep. That's talking deep. My daughter did the same thing. The preacher's kids are here speaking well. Are you with me? Brethren, we need to do that. Every one of us need to say, come hell or high water. And if you think just because you've been success in your business that everybody's impressed, nobody's impressed. If you're a success and a multimillionaire and lose your own family, ain't nobody impressed. In fact, God really not impressed. Brethren, we got to back off a little bit and say, okay, this is my duty as a man. I've got to make a living, got to provide for my family. I got that, but I got to make sure I serve the Lord. I got to do that first and make sure that all... Preachers, sometimes we categorize stuff, you know. The Lord first and then the family. It's not that way, preachers, this way. It's all together. It's all together. It's all priority. We don't prioritize like this. We prioritize like this when it comes to the Son. So, brethren, make your living, pay your bills, but understand, man, your family is so extremely important. And if you end up marrying your job instead of marrying your wife, you're going to lose her one day. If you end up being more loyal to employer than you are to your family, you ought to marry your employer. Because what could it do if a profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own family? You should do it. Men, we gotta get clean, make sure we clean up and get up and be honest. Make sure just once a week, like you said, preach at the beginning, once a week, just coming to church once a week, kind of tipping God a little bit. It ain't gonna cut it. Kids want you to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They know that dad's a witness for the Lord, trying to lead people to Christ. They want to know that. Honest and clean, number next, quickly. He wants to know that you have a good influence. My daddy used to say this, son, you're a go mess. Don't ever forget that. And I never could understand that when I was a small preacher. Like, oh, yeah, I know that. That's my last name. Unless y'all adopted me, I'm not quite sure. My daddy used to say we found you under a cabbage leaf. But anyway, I always felt intimidated by that. But anyway, and what he was saying is, that name means something. Do you understand the Word of God does too? Do you understand that your name was written down? Your name means something. And so what Daddy was saying, he said, this is our name and we have influence and we have great influence and I've done right, so you need to make heaven. And preacher, we're not understanding this influence. And every godly man that moves with fear needs to have a good influence. You're your child's hero. You talk to, and by the way, that's another thing. I'm pulling out my phone, show it right now, show you what my older son, right? Dad, you're my hero. Your children, now he's, good night. He's 40-something, mid-40s. I'm still his hero, mid-40s. Not when he was a kid. I was his hero then. I'm still his hero. Are you whipping now? So your children are looking at you when they're small. Dad can whoop anybody. It's like two little boys on the playground said, my daddy can whoop yours. And the little boy said, so what, my mama can too. So anyway, my daddy can whip your daddy. My mama can too. Boy, preacher, it's just great influence. You have great influence. And those children are looking to you as a hero because you're honest and clean. They look at you. But preacher, it's when you get older that they can still look at you and say, you're still my hero. Preacher, our men need to understand, all you men need to get a hold of this. You have more influence than any Sunday school teacher your children ever sit under. You have more influence over your children than any teacher in any Christian school or any school. You have more influence over your children than any college student or professor. You have more influence than any preacher will ever have on your child. You do. We don't live with them. We preach to them and they go home with you. You have great influence. Mamas, look at here now. I know I'm preaching to men because that's the ones who need to lead this whole thing. But mamas, y'all know the influence you got. Not only did you carry them in your body for 9 months, But then you sustain them from your own body when they're little bitty babies. There's something about mothers. You mess with a mother, that child will come out swinging, man. And that's the way it should be. Children love their mothers. At Mother's Day, a long time ago when we had dial-up phones, you know, I couldn't get through sometimes to call my mother. And I try, and they said lines are... So during Mother's Day, at that time, back yonder, we couldn't even get through because there's so many calls to mothers. On Father's Day, straight through, man. And I'm serious. Think about that for a minute. And I understand that. I really do. I understand that with a child because they love their mother so much. They really do. Boy, they ought to be something about that daddy. I lost mine. And before we were saved, we didn't have a good relationship. He taught me how to box. He taught me different stuff. Took me hunting, did all that stuff. We were tight in that area. But I'm talking about as far as a good influence. My daddy was a drinker. He was a fighter. Smoker. Wow. Is it any wonder I did the same thing when I was a teenage boy? Playing football, getting scholarship offers from all over the country. But I couldn't believe that, man, I'm going to play football now. It's going to be wonderful. Total reconstruction of my left knee and all. But isn't it amazing? My daddy one time walked in and caught me with a cigarette in my mouth at his place. And a guy just handed me. He said, hold this. I got to do something. And I just had. I was playing and stuck in my mouth. My daddy happened to walk in. He slapped it out of my mouth. My daddy never slapped me like that. He was a fighter. He's a boxer. He knew better than do something like that. He'd spank me. He'd beat the tar. In fact, he taught me how to dance. When my daddy took that belt off and started come through those loops, pop, 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 son, I knew it was time to dance, brother. He'd grab me and we'd dance. But he never hit me in my face, but he slapped me. Then he put me in a car and we drove all over to Maryland where he used to box and go and see my grandmother, grandfather. And you can ask all these kids one thing. Beat me, but don't lecture me, right? He lectured me all the way to Maringouin. You're going to play ball? You say you're going to be a big athlete and you're smoking, you stinking butt, and he laid me out. We got home that night, and this is what he told Mama. You ain't going to believe what I caught your boy doing. Had a cigarette in his mouth. Statement from my mother. Well, we sure taught him right. Well, my daddy was an honest man. He dropped his head. He said, you're right, Mama. Now, they didn't quit. But he understood why I was doing what I was doing. Let me tell you what I was doing. I was drinking, and I was smoking, and I was fighting just like my daddy. Fathers have great influence over their children. They're our hero. Brethren, you're your children's hero. Now, think about this for a minute. So I get saved by the grace of God. And when I get saved, I start witnessing my mom and dad. And the first one to come to Christ is my daddy. He looked at me and he said, I have never, ever in my life seen anybody transformed like you. He said, son, this ain't religion. And whatever it is, I want it. I want it now. My hair was way down my back, had a long beard. I mean, crazy, wild man. When I got saved, I cleaned up. And for 4 months, my daddy watched me. He thought I went insane. And he sat me down and he said, whatever it is, I want it. I want it tonight. My daddy got born again, got saved. So here's these two men. Think about this. Here's two men who go out every Friday, drinking, fighting, coming in. I mean, crazy stuff. Every week of our lives, this is our M.O. My daddy go one way, I go another way. But that's what we do all every weekend. And now all of a sudden we go to this Baptist church and we come back Christians. And now me and daddy ain't going to the scenes. We're sitting there studying our Bible, talking about the Lord. And this poor Catholic woman just going, what in the world has happened to my two sinful men? She couldn't understand it because her Catholicism didn't do that to us. Amen. Her religion didn't do that to us. Jesus Christ did that to us.
Right.
And then Mama got saved a year and 4 months. Took a hard-headed Catholic woman. Took her a year before she got saved. Both my parents got saved. Oh, you listen to me now. And after that, my daddy became a great influence. Preacher, I've been with him at times. We'd be out hunting or fishing, whatever, and he'd be way in the middle of the night, and I'd catch my daddy on his knee before we go to bed, reading that King James Bible. Sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, we'd get into a destination. All I wanted to do was get in a bed, man. And he and I would be in the same room, man. I'd just get in bed like, you know, here's a preacher, you know, the spiritual guy, you know, gets in. I'm just looking at daddy. I said, I can't believe this old man on his knees with this King James Bible. Now, you'd have to know my daddy, rough as a cob, buddy. Man, 150% pure beef, and yet he was on his knees. Great influence after he got saved. I got to hasten, please. I'm just simply saying that a child is looking at you. They're looking for great influence in the home, and are you influencing your children for God Almighty? A boy woke up one day screaming, preacher, and the daddy ran in the room, and he grabbed his son. He said, son, the boy startled. He said, what's wrong? He said, daddy, I was just having a dream. He said, I had a dream that you were on top of me, choking me. He said, son, no, no, no. He calmed the boy down. And the man said, he went to his room, fell on his face. He said, if my son is having dreams about me like that, I'm treating that boy wrong. Dear God, would you please forgive me? I'm treating that boy wrong. I'm handling that boy wrong. And he's thinking I'm wanting to hurt him. Please forgive me. Dad got right with God and got right with his son. I preach with some of the greatest preachers that ever walked in shoe leather. I could name many of them dead now. They're great men. Some of their children have embarrassed them, preacher. But I think of a great preacher that I'm thinking of now. And he said he went to witness to a man. He went to his home and talked to the man about the Lord. The man let the preacher go through the plan of salvation. And the man told him, he said, I'm sorry, preacher, I ain't ready for that. I ain't ready for that. He said, sir, it breaks my heart that you would reject Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to tell you that you need to be saved. And I showed you how to be saved. I ain't ready for that. Preacher said, a great preacher, if I named his name, all of you know, he got up and walked out. Just discouraged. We do sometimes, man. When we gave the gospel out, why would this guy not receive Christ as his Savior? He admitted he's a sinner, admitted all of it. Why wouldn't he make that decision? Preacher left, went to the pulpit. That was a Saturday. Got on a pulpit like this Sunday, and he's preaching like I am this morning. And he looked up, and that man came down the aisle during an invitation. And the preacher was confused, like, what in the world? He said he was not ready, but yet he came to church. He came to the preacher and threw his arms around the preacher. And it was just sobbing, crying. And the preacher pushed him back. He called his name. He said, man, after yesterday the visit, I didn't think you'd even come to church. I'm shocked to see you. He said, preacher, he said, when you left, my little bitty toe-headed boy come crawl up my lap. Said he stuck out his little chubby arms and grabbed me around the head and pulled me real close to him and whispered in my ear, said, daddy, we don't want to become Christians, do we? He said, it dawned on me that my little boy was listening to me when I gave you that answer. Preacher, my kid's going to end up in hell if I don't get right. And he got saved that day. Brethren, listen, please listen. Please listen to me. Men, listen to me. Your wife actually married you because she thinks that you're the greatest thing on planet Earth. She didn't meet me in preacher before she met you. But anyway, she thinks you're the greatest thing that on planet Earth. And your children, absolutely. Absolutely. Think you're one of the greatest things that ever happened. Don't blow that with them. Preacher, we need revival in our churches among men.
Right.
To stand up and say, preacher, I'm not everything I should be, but bless God, I'm gonna do everything I can to be the right person in my home for my children. And I want to say this to everybody here. Just because you don't have that in your home is no excuse for you not to live right and do right. We got all these victims today. I know some kids that don't have it good in their home, but they're doing great. I'm dealing with one of our evangelists there. We got him saved out of the gangs of Chicago. Out of the gangs. He got all the gang signs and everything. Came to our Christian school. I let him in our Christian school. Said I'd never let one of the guys, anybody that outside public schools into my Christian school. And the Lord convicted my heart and let the boy in. Our whole Christian school, all of our boys were in trouble one day, preacher. And I got in there and nailed them all. You know who wasn't in trouble? That bus kid. That gangbanger that we got saved. He was the only guy in that Christian school that was not involved in their little shenanigans. I go, wow, maybe I ought to kick all the Christian kids out and the Christian families out and get all my bus kids in. Because he was not. Anyway, time went on. Graduated from Providence Baptist College. Traveled with Joe Boyd. I bought him 3 tents, 2 vehicles, all this stuff. He's preaching to thousands now. Thousands. Mother's never been to church. Doesn't know who his daddy is. Stop being a victim. There you go. and understand that Jesus Christ has given you victory. Amen. But to all of you that are here, all you men here, let's go ahead and make a covenant with one another. Let's be the stand-up men for our children, for our homes, for our wives. We've got to do that, brethren. We could have great revival this week if we'd just get these things down and understand this clearly as men. I've been a bit long this morning, but I'm burdened about our men. I'm a bit burdened about what I've seen in the country and how we're just rolling over. We're rolling over about everything. We're just not taking a stand on anything. And our men need to take a stand in their home, back the preacher, get behind him, push on. Let's do some great things for God. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I speak about my dad a lot because I miss him so much. What a great man. He taught me how to live, how to love, and how to be a man. Are you saved? I'm talking to men now. Are you saved, sir? Sincerely, are you saved? Stop playing a game with God. Are you really saved? Have you trusted Him by faith? Your family needs heaven-bound dads. That's what they need. Do you love God and serve Him? Do you love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul? When we talk about the spirit fullness, that's what we're talking about, where He has you totally, 100%, lock, stock, and barrel. Men, ask yourself that question. Here's what we need today. It's in invitation time. We need men on their face. If you want to come to your family, fine. We need men on their face at this altar saying, "Dear God, make me what the preacher talked about today. I want to be honest. I want to be clean. I want to be a great influence. I want to be these things to my family." And if you're not careful, you can say, "Oh, I'm already those things." And you got to understand there's some inconsistencies sometimes in our lives that we don't see. Because when we look at ourselves, we're all perfect. But buddy, that's not the way God sees us. Be honest with yourself. Be honest. If you're saved, you need to live for the Lord. If you're not, you ought to come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved today. If you're not living for God, let us take the Bible and read it, get you rededicated to the Lord fresh and anew. Are you serving Him? Are you behind the preacher? Do you back Him? Are you critical? Your children are listening. Let's stand to our feet, please. Father, I pray that You'd bless and help today. I ask You to do a work in the lives of individuals in this room. May they come today. Especially our men, dear God, have us to humble ourselves today and come. There be one here without Jesus Christ. May, Lord, they come today and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Bless the invitation as long as you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, won't you come right now? Come on with your family if you need to. Come on right now. Come on right now. Say, "I want to be that man. I want to be that man that you talk about." Come on, guys. Come on right now. God bless you. Come on.